Welcome to the 204th episode of the Crack Dive Podcast.
Hooray!
We've made it. What's happening?
Wow!
Who's the president? The actor?
Ronald Reagan? The actor?
What did Reagan star in?
Ronald Reagan?
Yeah. Was he like a daytime, what is it called, soap opera?
No, I think it was like in Westerns.
He was in like comedies.
Western comedies. One of those.
Something with a monkey.
Yeah, he definitely had a monkey at one point.
He played a monkey?
No.
Let's IMDb him.
I was just doing the same thing.
That sounds dirty, by the way.
As I routinely say at my job, if only we had the power of the collective knowledge of humanity at our fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever could we do?
For free.
Yeah, he has 81 acting credits, so.
Wow.
One of them was being the president.
Oh,
got him.
I was going to go into foreign policy, you know.
Yeah, let's not.
Comparison to the last several four, but as the token Arab of the show, let's not.
You're not the token Arab. Jeez.
I'm kidding. I love you guys.
We love you for you. So how about them Yankees?
So about those Christmas ghost stories. There is one called The Christmas Carol, and there's Christmas cards with murderous frogs and anthropomorphic insects. I read that.
Yep.
If you have a scary ghost story that's not The Christmas Carol, would you please consider writing to us and telling us all about it?
I just want to wish everyone a happy February when this episode is coming out. Spoiler alert, we're recording this in December.
I'm pretty sure it's Christmas somewhere in the world all the time. Isn't that how time works?
I will say, my family celebrated Christmas 3 times out of the year, and this wasn't like a Christmas in July thing. So we celebrated Christmas December 6th, because that's like the German tradition, St. Nikolai comes, and you put out your shoes, and at night, if you're really good, he'll leave candy in there, and then if you're bad, he leaves coal. So then you'd have December 6th, and then you'd have December 24th, and that's really when Santa would come for us. And then we'd have Christmas Day anyway. So we'd have Christmas Eve with my grandmother, Christmas Day with my parents, and then you'd have January 6th, which was the day that the wise men came to visit Jesus. So we would have a little Christmas, according to the old calendar. Then, so we had a lot of Christmas in my household.
I thought January 6th was when the QAnon shaman burst into your room and just took pictures.
My question is, what if you're like, you know, I don't know, an amateur blacksmith and you asked for coal for Christmas? Would it be confusing? Would you know if you're good or bad?
Depending on the economy, coal might be a great gift.
This is true. In this day and age, can you afford to like give coal? Like, where would you find that? Like, is it charcoal now? Like, where would you be giving your kid coal?
You can still get coal.
Where?
If you know, you know.
Yeah. I know there's a place in PA you can get, like, I think it's bituminous, but not anthracite. You know, was the anthracite not bituminous? I can't remember. All I know is when I blew my nose afterwards, it came out black. So, you know, it was probably great for my lungs.
Oh, no.
Growing up, we had a coal stove at my grandparents in the basement. So my grandfather always had coal. So there was a coal delivery. But it's not like, well, he didn't have, it wasn't that old of a house, but he had coal. Like, there was a bucket of coal in the basement and then he would shovel it into the stove. But it's one of those things that I've found throughout life that there are little niche things in life. So like, for instance, in my work, we talk about like, well, if you find a local metal shop or a local hydraulic shop, and people are like, well, where the hell would I find that? And it's like, well, Google exists, first of all. And secondly, you might be surprised at something like that where you're not going to know that it exists and you look it up and there are multiple in your city. And it's like an industry, right? It's people do have those industries. It's just the average person probably doesn't deal with them. So they don't know.
I mean, I can think of at least 3 farriers like within 2 miles of my house.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you live in the woods.
I don't live in the woods.
Your neighbors are beavers.
No, they're not. They're goats.
Okay, sorry, goats.
Do your goats make bad neighbors?
Well, only when they get out and they just stop me from getting to work on time, yeah.
Well, I mean, they are a little gruff.
Get out.
Is it time to start the episode yet?
Last time we played this game, you all had made it into the Temple of All Gods after defeating a Makrati out front. From there, you got to go through, you fought some Dwargar slave lords, found a chapel of Bulka. You also found some statues of Fulgrit. And then you walked all the way into the back here, and you notice that one of the doors was locked, but the other two were not. And when you went in there, you found two Glaberzoos. They are demons that have big, like, lobster claws and then small hands.
Am I right remembering that these Glaberzoo didn't have their little hands, like they were cut off or something?
Correct. Yes, the little hands have been cut off of the two Glaberzoos. And you wound up dealing with the first one, and now you're still dealing with the second one. Glaberzoos are treachery demons that you have dealt with before.
In Curvosa.
In Curvosa. The lovely, lovely little city of Curvosa, where nothing bad ever happens.
Mm-hmm.
We finished the first round, I believe. Yes, because you guys destroyed that first Glaberzoo. It is now the top of round two. Matt, it is your turn. It is Twin Talon's turn.
All right, then Twin Talon will advance forward 15 feet to be adjacent to Brianna, target the Glaberzoo. That's a 40 to hit versus its flat-footed AC.
Versus its flat-footed AC, that is a hit.
All right, so that is 39 points of damage, 28 piercing, 5 sonic, 6 electricity.
Dang.
And then I would like to put precise debilitation on the Glaberzoo, and then I would like to strike again.
I guess, if you must.
So that's a 40 to hit.
That is a hit, but not a crit.
So I rolled a 12 and then a 16. So there we go. So that was 32. That seems like I rolled very poorly. Yeah, 1, 2, 2, 3, 2, 1, 3, 6, 3, 1.
Well then.
32 damage.
Did you do more damage without the debilitating strike? Yes, you did.
I did. I did 39 and then 32 with 2 extra d6.
Ripper-nies.
Your weapons do find purchase into its gut as you stab into it.
All right, so Twin Talon moves up next to Brianna, makes 2 quick jabs to the Glaberzoo, and yellow and black ichor starts oozing down its thighs.
Mmm, hot. These are very different reactions.
All right, next up is Soraya, who is still Fatwagged.
Is it because she's so hungry?
Yep, she's so hungry she could eat a Glaberzoo.
That ichor's looking mighty fine.
But would you want to?
Do you think the ichor is like lemon curd?
Same texture, different taste.
Do you know, though? Do we know?
X card, X card.
Harsh but fair.
All right. So I'm going to use one of my frost vials. I have a bunch of those pre-made. That is a 36 to hit.
That is a hit.
Ooh, okay. Ooh. He takes 17 damage plus 3 splash, and he has that minus 10-foot speed penalty. Awesome, and I'm gonna do it again. And I'm gonna miss. Ugh. Okay, it's like a whole swirly thing. I don't know. It's a 4 on the die. Is it worth the hero point?
You have 2 hero points.
I do have them, yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah. Sure, why not? Let's hero point that. 37. Sweet. Okay, so he's gonna take 22 damage this time, plus that additional 3 splash. And the speed penalty does not stack, so that's still at the 10 feet. Why not? Let's go one more time. Oh shit! 32!
Yeah! There we go.
Nice!
I don't think I've ever hit with all 3 in one turn before. Woo! Okay, yeah, so that's the 20 damage plus the 3 splash. So as it hits, you just kind of see these 3 areas of like frost and rime kind of like start to all spread out and take over him as it starts to encase him a little bit and slow him down. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So you've made lemon snow cones.
Ew, okay, look, I don't know about why you're obsessed with eating Glaberzoo, but that's a you thing.
It is Knife Sword's turn.
Knife Sword's got a short memory. Didn't we know that this was weak to something? I thought it was cold. No? Am I thinking a different creature?
It is cold iron. Cold iron. The word cold is in there, so you're not wrong.
My swords were cold iron, by the way. I don't know if I told you that.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case, hang on. Let's go back a little bit. Christine, describe your kill.
Well, same thing. Kind of the ichor squirting out of him all just kind of like freezes over and it like freezes him from the inside out. He just turns into ice and then kind of shatters.
Nice.
Gross. The reason you killed it is because...
Super snow cone.
Yeah, and it only had 3 hit points left, so...
Oh, shit. Nice. Yeah, I'm sure Twin Talon definitely softened it up for me.
So you manage to deal with the two Galabrazoos very quickly and with, like, very little effort.
It's like we've done this before.
Yeah, right?
Can we acquire favorite enemy, Galabrazoo?
I wish. That'd be so cool.
We don't need it.
I just feel like we kill them enough, we earn it. You know, it just becomes a thing.
Yeah. It's like a achievement you unlock.
Yeah, you know.
I think what should happen is, when we see Galabrazoos in the future, if you kill a bunch of a certain creature, like, your legend as this, like, Galabrazoo Slayer has permeated the plains, and they see you, and they're like, oh shit, it's those people.
Run away!
Yeah, they're more likely to run or try to, like, bargain than fight you.
Let me give you the description of this room again real quick, because it's been a week or more. Two sets of stairs lead down from the entrances into this hall. A pair of circular altars surrounded by stone chairs sit in the middle of this room. Several pieces of parchment lie on the stone altar, while the walls have been inscribed with hundreds, if not thousands, of words. Dwarven?
Nightsword, do you think you can translate from that language to common what it says?
Tell me, shake him awake.
Nightsword, she'll start shaking him awake. Robert!
What? I'm sorry. We haven't rested in a while.
No, you go ahead.
I had a dream where I was getting ready to attack a demon, but then I woke up and it was dead, so sorry, go ahead.
You and me both, my friend. You and me both.
I'll give it a shot.
So it's kind of weird. It looks like it's a name and then a second name and then some sort of issue. Like, it's a record of people having disputes is kind of what it looks like.
So it says George Annoyeth Tomad with large hammer to foot, something like that. It's really weirdly worded, like it's, I don't know, maybe olden? Older? I can speak.
You see a couple of the names have been crossed out, as well as the conflict. And then it says, go now in peace, those who Grundinar and Coles have blessed here. To break this sacred oath is to invite Drangvit's wrath.
Okay, so it looks like some of these are actually crossed out. Those aren't accent marks. And something about going in peace or yada, 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 subsection 7, paragraph 12, don't cross the streams, da-da-da-da-da-da, don't do something or you'll incur some beer. It looks like a beer. Wrath, something like that.
Based on his very broken descriptions, would I be able to roll a religion check with disadvantage? I will happily take the disadvantage.
No need to get to disadvantage. You've traveled with Knifesword long enough that you can read between the lines.
Okay.
You've unlocked the achievement dealt with Knifesword long enough. You've also unlocked the achievement Knifesword translator.
Nice. Sexy.
I roll a 22, which is not grand, but whatever.
Yeah, it's good enough, though, because this is all you realize with the names that he kind of says that Grundinar, G-R-U-N-D-I-N-N-A-R, and Coles are two dwarven deities. Grundinar is the god of friendship and loyalty and was normally invoked when building relationships was at the forefront of discussions. In contrast, the name Coles, the Oathkeeper, was invoked when participants wanted to ensure that no one would break their solemn promises. And Drangvat's Wrath, Drangvat is the deity who would come through and hand out punishments for breaking promises. So putting that all together, this room, you could guess with the way that there's two tables on either side, it's where, when this was inhabited by dwarves, priests of the two deities would be here to resolve conflicts. And looking at the names and the conflicts, if the names are crossed out, the conflicts have been resolved and that blessing was put under it. If the names were not crossed off, the conflict was still being dealt with. So this was like a meeting room.
Okay. Well, I guess it's good to know what this was for.
Indeed. It's just good to remember or have honored the deities of long before, I suppose.
Brianna, do you know how many dwarven gods there are in the Pantheon?
Yes, actually. There should be, let's see, Angard Bolka, Drangvit Droskar, Folgrit, Grunidar Kols, Magrim, Torag and Trud. So 10 members in total?
And I think we've encountered about 6 so far, the statues?
Mm-hmm. So far. So hopefully at some point we'll hit Droskar's and find the rest of these people. onwards?
And upwards.
So before you head out, Matt, you noticed that one of the stones where the names are, I'm assuming you've all been looking at the names on the wall and looking around. You notice that the brick, it looks like it's shoved out a little bit, like it's not completely flush. And you know that in a dwarven building, that would not fly.
Okay. Twin Talon will move over to it and kind of push in on it, like to see if it looks like a button or something.
It kind of slides in, but it feels like there's something behind it.
Oh, okay. So Twin Talon will carefully remove said brick.
As you remove the brick, you see that there are three pieces of parchment rolled up tight with a red ribbon wrapped around them.
Okay. Twin Talon will carefully remove the parchments and slide the brick back in. Does it, like, go flush again?
Yep.
Okay, great.
What do you have there?
Huh? Oh, I was just fixing this brick.
Twin Talon's getting secret admirer notes.
No, no. This brick was out of place. I knew the dwarves wouldn't appreciate it. Oh, I guess there's these papers behind it, too. He'll hand the papers to Brianna.
Brianna will look them over and then carefully start to unroll them.
You find that they are three scrolls. One is a scroll of restoration, sixth level, scroll of divine decree, and a scroll of regenerate.
Cool. Divine decree. You utter a potent litany from your faith, a mandate that harms those who oppose your ideals. Choose an alignment your deity has, chaotic, evil, good, or lawful. You can't cast a spell if you do not have a deity or your deity is true neutral. The spell gains the trait of the alignment you choose. You deal 7d10 damage to creatures in the area. Each creature must attempt a fortitude save. Creatures with an alignment that matches the one you chose are unaffected by the spell. Those that neither match nor oppose it treat as a result of their saving throw as 1 degree better and don't suffer the effects other than the damage.
Just so you know, Divine Decree is a level 7 spell.
Ooh, it's spicy.
Restoration is a 6th level version of it, and Regenerate is also a 7th level spell. And I have added all three scrolls to your group loot.
Thank you.
Don't thank me, thank the dwarves.
Who said that?
The ghost.
Well, this could definitely come in handy. Thank you, ghostly dwarves. Onwards.
There were stairs in the other room, weren't there?
Yeah, there were two staircases going up, I believe.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, you're just going to split the party. Two go to the left and two go to the right, right?
That's right.
There are five of us.
Yeah, well, Tasani counts, so three to the left, three to the right.
I'll go with Daphne. Stop trying to go with Daphne.
Do, 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 do.
There are indeed two sets of stairs.
Like, you could walk up four abreast.
Okay, friend, let us all stand side by side and gun our way up.
I am a gigantogoblin. I'm at least 10 feet across.
Oh, that's why they have to accommodate for knife swords hips. God.
Oh.
They don't lie.
Yes, they do not lie.
And now we have our title.
So, I've brought you all up to the second floor. I guess I should give you a description, huh? This chapel is infused with a sense of menace by a massive statue of a furious dwarf in the north. His hands extend forward to clutch a stone offering bowl over an altar of stone. The altar is carved with the images of hounds chasing dwarves holding sacks of coins. And if you would all like to roll religion, I might be able to tell you more. Would you like to know more?
For fuck's sake, I hate doing religion rolls.
I rolled pretty well, actually.
All right. So everyone knows what's going on here. This is a shrine dedicated to Drangvit, the dwarven god of debt, pursuit, and vengeance.
I think that god owes me money.
Probably. I feel like to each of the temples, to each of the shrines, Brianna would like pay her respects as she's passed so far. So she will cautiously move forward and kind of keep her ears perked to see if there's any trouble, but want to go and offer her respects.
Okay, so as you go to offer your respects, you notice that there are some glints coming out of the bowl.
She will peek.
All right. You see there is a cudgel, a piece of bronzite shaped like an opal with points at both ends, and a resined strengthened viper skull.
And you said the first thing was a cudgel? Interesting, because Brianna knows that his favored weapon is a light pick.
What if somebody's using this as like their little key bowl by the door? So they come in, they just empty their pockets into it.
Yeah.
You also see various pieces of jewelry in the bowl.
But clearly this looks like offerings, right?
Yes.
And do they look disturbed? Does it look recent? Or is everything like covered in dust?
They're very dusty.
Okay. Brianna would not be someone to take these offerings. She will not say the same for her compatriots, but make sure to do it when she cannot see it, because she will have a thing to say about it.
Anyone can give me an arcana, nature, occultism, or religion roll to identify what these items are. Great. No one else needs to roll. Okay, you all identify 34, 37, 38, 40.
Teacher, we all know what this is.
Yeah. All right. So the first one that I describe, so it's an iron cudgel. The bronzite shaped like an oval with points on both ends is called a flame navet. N-A-V-E-T-T-E. This piece of bronzite is shaped like an oval with points at both ends. It has a carved flame at its center and is traditionally worn over the heart. You can activate only one flame navet per day. When you activate the navet, you gain the benefit of the fighter's determination class feat with a counteract modifier of +22. The determination feat.
It is a single action. You can use once per day. This is a consumable thing, I'm guessing, so it won't be used once ever.
Yep, it's a flicks to armor.
Yep. When you have something that's affecting you, so it says choose a single non-permanent spell or condition that is affecting you. If you chose a condition, its effect on you ends. If you chose a spell, attempt to counteract the spell. Your counteract level is equal to half your level, blah, 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 but for this, it's equal to 22. This doesn't remove any hit point damage normally dealt by spell or condition, and it doesn't prevent the spell or debilitating effect from affecting other allies or the environment around you. It can't remove an ongoing affliction or prevent such an affliction from inflicting conditions on you later. It can't remove conditions from the situation, such as prone or flanked. If the effect comes from a creature, hazard, or item of 20th level or higher, determination can't remove its effects on you.
And then the last one, the resin strengthened viper skull, is called a viper's fang. It is a fixed to a weapon. As a reaction, you activate it. A creature within your reach uses a manipulate or move action, makes a ranged attack, or leaves a square during a move action it is using. You make an attack of opportunity against the targeting the triggering creature. If you have attack of opportunity, you can activate the viper's fang as a free action instead of using your reaction.
That's cool.
That is pretty cool.
And I looked at iron cudgel, and that's also an affixable thing. It's also a talisman.
Yeah, so the viper's fang gives you an attack of opportunity once, or if you have attack of opportunity already, it lets you use it basically for free. The iron cudgel is affixed to a weapon as well. This miniature club is typically affixed to a weapon by an iron chain. When you activate the cudgel, you use brutal finish as the fighter feat. Brutal finish. Fighter class feat. Your final blow can make an impact even if it rebounds off a foe's defenses. Make a strike with the required weapon. After the strike, your turn ends. The strike deals one extra weapon damage die or two extra weapon damage die if you're at least 18th level. The strike also gains the following failure effect. Failure. You deal damage equal to one weapon damage die of the required weapon. Increase this to two dice if you're at least 18th level. So that's even if you miss, you deal some damage. So. And then the various gems and items in there probably look about like 200 gold's worth of things.
What'd you guys find? Doesn't look like nothing when y'all are congregating.
Let us not keep touching things that are meant for deities. Even if they're long gone of this place, they still have their influence. So she will look like, give a steely stare up at Ooh. No.
Should I add these items to the bag, Matt?
I don't know that Trenton would take them out of the offering bowl. He's super suspicious and respectful enough of the deities not to mess with it.
Did you say suspicious? Because if so, I love you.
I may have unconsciously said that since that's the way I normally say it at home.
Yeah, because Padme is always suspicious of everything and everyone.
Yes.
For context, guys.
Don't be suspicious.
Padme is our dog.
Yes.
As everyone's walking away, we will definitely just poke at it. She's not going to take it because they told her not to, but she's definitely going to poke at it and be like, I touched it anyway. You can't tell me what to do. Blah, blah, blah.
I feel like as that's happening, Brianna will not even turn around and be like, don't do it. And, keep walking.
You see Ooh with a sandbag.
With a perplexed look on his face, Knife Sword's going to look at Soraya, look at the block of wood he found on the floor and just slowly put it back under the bench where he got it.
What were you going to do with that, buddy? I'm curious.
I hadn't gotten that far.
Okay, that's good. No more alterations to my poor backpack. I'm starting to feel the effects.
All right, boys, cancel the sunroom.
Oh, no. A Galabrazool crawls out.
Take five. Smoke them if you got them.
You see stone golem starting to climb out.
I did not know I had this type of backpack. What?
Where are y'all headed to next?
That's a great question.
Where can we go? Everything's dark.
Twin Talon is checking at the door, listening for anyone on the other side of it.
All right. I'll make a secret perception check. All right. You don't hear anything on the other side of the door.
Our Twin Talon will check to see if it's locked or not.
It is not locked.
And I'll open the door.
You know that I can add those effects, right?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. The door opens into a room with a long counter with a single chair, and then notice a door to your west and one to the south.
Does this look like the priestly chambers?
Do you get any sense of what this is?
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, this looks like a room where one of the priests could prepare, or if they needed to isolate two arguing members from the downstairs room, this could be a room that they could just put them in.
Is there a plexiglass wall on the other side of this counter?
No.
Okay. There's a chair there. I figured it was like a, you know, like a prison.
An interrogation room?
Well, no, like at a prison when you like have like the phone on the other side of the plexiglass wall.
Oh, yes.
Or if someone's arguing, you put them across each other from a wall where they can't like physically get to each other, but they can see each other and talk to one another. Let's go south.
To the south! Who's gonna listen at the door this time first? What's behind door number one?
Well, let's see. What is behind door number one? Okay, you hear quiet murmurs on the other side of the door.
Uh-oh. There are sounds on the doors. On the other side of the doors, gal.
Brianna will raise her shield.
Who will rage?
Okay. Who is raging? Brianna is raising a shield. Does anyone else want to do anything before the door is open?
I mean, Twin Talon has his sword out and is stealthily opening the door.
And I would like actually to take my Dread Marshal stance.
All right. That's a natural one for a fail. Critical.
Oh, no.
Can I reroll that?
Yeah, you have a hero point.
I would like to do that, please.
All right, you do that. 34. Gross. That is a success.
Cool.
Teehee.
All right, so I stealthily open the door. Do you want me to roll stealth, has you?
All right.
All right, I roll a 38.
You managed to open the door very quietly.
Freak.
Oh, no, not again.
A total of 9 jail cells made of iron bars line the walls of this room. Within each cell lies crumbled tangles of dried dwarven bones.
Do we still hear whispers, or has that stopped since the door has opened?
You hear murmuring still.
Do we get a sense of direction?
From the cells.
We could just, like, not go in here and just go elsewhere.
I think we should put whatever it is to rest. If it is undead, then yes. And if it is unfortunate, I don't know, captives, then we should free them.
Yes, these are haunts.
Which is a hazard, not a creature, right?
Correct. Well, Soraya sees malevolent spirits led by a ghostly image of a dwarf rise and begin a deadly brawl. These spirits attempt to overwhelm any living creatures, forcing them to join the battle. You can attempt a religion check to disable this. Or if someone is an expert in diplomacy, you can attempt to talk them down.
I'm only trained, unfortunately. But sure, I will happily attempt a religion check. How many hero points do I still have?
It looks like you have 2.
I will roll first, and then I'll kind of say what Brianna would do, I guess.
Yeah, that works for me.
How's a 27?
27 is a fail.
Okay, if we could have a hero point.
Mmm, delicious.
Here we go. Well, that's my luck with this roll. Whenever I roll religion, I always roll pretty shittily. So Brianna walks in, attempting to channel Serenre, but probably with the interference of being so deep, dark underground and all this other divine energy from the other gods. She's been having some issues. There's like static in the connection. And she will attempt it anyway and offer prayers to try and talk down these spirits. And of course it fails. So let me know what happens.
Okay, so as you are making your prayers and whatnot, you see spectral fists and feet lash out from the walls, floor, and ceiling against you.
Fun. And you said you have to be an expert in diplomacy to try and talk them down?
Correct. So they're going to make their attack on you. That is a 41 to hit.
Yeah, it hits.
All right. Can you make a will save, please?
Sure.
And I'm going to roll some damage.
37.
You succeed.
Which means she gets a critical success because she has divine will.
Yes. But you are going to take 16 points of bludgeoning damage.
Oh, no.
Would you like to take any of that onto your shield? Your shield has a hardness of 15, so you and your shield would take 1.
Sure. I did come in here with my shield raised. I guess that would make sense.
Oh, no. Your shield only has 90 hit points left. All right. So now we're going to roll initiative. Actually, I'm going to start a combat.
I'm going to start a combat.
All right. Everyone, roll your initiativo.
Jeez. 38. I got a 38.
All right. Rob, what did you get?
I got a 31.
All right. Christine?
I have a 30.
Haya?
24. Brianna is doubled over, or still rattled from being attacked by fists, I guess.
And Heidi?
24 because ghosts.
Would Brianna or Ooh like to go first?
You can go first. I don't like ghosts.
Sure.
All right.
Initiative.
Fuck yeah. Okay, so the haunt is going to go first. It is going to use one action to cause a barrage of ghostly fists to lash from the walls and floors. Again, makes an attack against each creature in this room, but there's only one creature in this room right now, so.
C'est moi.
That is a 48 to hit.
I don't hit.
All right. Can you make a will save, please?
Certainly. That was a 41.
Critical success.
Nice.
Excellent.
It's 27 points of damage. Would you like to use your shield block at all?
No.
All right.
I need my second reaction just in case.
Second action is going to do the same thing. 40.
That's my C exactly.
All right. Let me get another will save.
You'd think it'd go to the defender, but no.
40. Another critical save. This is 28 points of damage. Would you like to shield block?
Nah.
All right. And for its last action, it's going to do it one more time. Oof. Critical miss with a 27.
Beautiful.
I'll draw a crit miss card.
Stupid haunts. Good.
All right. This is from Paizo. This is a melee attack? Yeah. Or unarmed. We'll say it's unarmed because they were punching and kicking you. You kick up a cloud of dust, becoming blinded until the end of your next turn.
Oh.
I was blinded by science or something? I don't know.
By dust.
Wrapped up like a what?
Deuce.
A goose. Silly, silly goose.
I think it's a moose.
All right. Next up is Twin Talon.
So Twin Talon can't do anything against a haunt, but I'm pretty sure what I can do is I can aid Brianna on her religion checks.
Okay.
So that is what Twin Talon is going to do.
So you're using the aid another action?
Yes. So I make a religion check. If I get at least a 20, she gets a plus 1. If I get a 30, she gets a plus 2.
All right.
And my bonus is plus 18. So 31. So that gives Brianna a plus 2 on her religion check.
Thank you.
Awesome. All right.
Like, remember to say something about their beards. Dwarves love hearing about their beards religiously.
Matt, is there anything else you'd like to do?
I don't know if there's anything else I can do, really, so no.
Okay. Rob, is there anything you'd like to do?
I can't actually see anything.
Just walk into the room. You see spectral floating ghosts around in all of the jail cells.
Interesting. Well, I think I have something for that. Let me look in my bag here. Rummage. No.
He called it his bag.
It's not the backpack. It's the bag I have on me.
Yeah, it pretty much is.
Yeah. So I'm going to cast Ghostly Weapon on Brianna's weapon. That's a two-action spell, so there you go.
All right. Christine.
I'm going to do something I don't usually get to do because I don't normally have the occasion for it. But with my Exostrix dedication, I'm going to use Spirit's Absolution. So you're holding your spirit dwelling. It costs one spirit, a wisp, or a spirit remnant from the dwelling. You purify a spirit by absolving it of its sins and regrets. This cathartic experience restores hit points to you or those of an adjacent ally. If you expend a spirit wisp, the target recovers 1d4 hit points per level you have. If you expend a spirit remnant, which I don't have, 1d6 per level of the incorporeal, undead, or haunt from which you gain the remnant. So I just have the one spirit wisp. Well, I have two in there because I have the enticing dwelling thing, but I will use that on Brianna.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Thank you.
And she gets 30 healing. That's 14d4. That's not bad.
Okay, that's a lot.
Okay, and the religion is to determine the origin of the haunt?
I mean, it isn't coming out of each jail cell.
Okay, and how do we diffuse it or try to resolve the haunt?
Oh, you guys already know. You need either religion or be an expert in diplomacy.
As long as you don't need to be an expert in religion, I will roll that. 28. All right, so I'm moving up to Brianna using the absolution and doing the religion check. That's all my actions.
You also overhealed Brianna, so blood comes squirting out of her eyes.
No such thing.
Let's keep her healthy.
Especially someone who's basically supposed to be your human shield, so.
Fine, I guess. All right, it is now your turn, Haya.
Brianna will shake it off and take a moment to admire her friends and be thankful for them, as basically so far everybody's just kind of hyped her up with stuff. Be like, okay, take two. And she'll try and channel Serenre once more. You see like a flicker of fiery wings on her back. She begins Serenrean exorcism rites, which are surprisingly very similar to Ferasmin ones. Take two. I have a +2. Is that correct?
Yep.
Here we go. How's a 37?
37 is a success.
Thank God.
That is one success. You may need multiples.
Okay.
But you do hear the spirits who are wailing about being hungry and how they are in so much pain and taking out some of the defenses of the town.
What? Like, I feel, okay, can we roll back a second? I feel like we were looking at this very mechanically and not very roleplay wise. I have no context of what to do or say, if that makes sense.
Sure. So malevolent spirits, led by a ghostly image of a dwarf, rise and begin a deadly brawl. These spirits attempt to overwhelm living creatures, forcing them to join the battle. You also know that this place, in general, well, you learned in the history that they starved to death here, so you can assume that these hazard is a bunch of, like, people who were stored in the cells who starved to death.
Brianna will kind of try and play into what they are saying and be like, we will free you in just a moment. You will be free and you will have your bellies filled. Come, please.
All right.
We're here to help you.
So you have another action if you'd like to try and use religion again.
Sure. Do you still have the advantage?
I think so.
Let's go. Nope, just kidding. That's a failure, maybe a critical failure?
Nope, just a regular failure.
All right.
You have one more action.
Let's do it one more time. Even worse, 25.
That is a critical failure, unless you'd like to hero point it.
Fuck it. Let's hero point it.
Hero points. Yay.
Doo-doo.
A hero point.
Just a failure this time as I rolled another 27.
Yep, that is just a regular failure, which is better than the crit failure. All right. Ooh, Heidi, it is your turn.
Yeah, can y'all explain to me what a scroll of planar seal is?
It's a piece of paper.
Yeah.
With some writing on it.
I love it.
And when you read the writing, it does a spell.
Oh, hey, cool. I was looking in our group loot to see if there was anything to get rid of ghosties. We could throw some slumber wine at it. I don't think that'll help, y'all. We could teleport it, send it out somewheres. I don't know, y'all. I'm just kind of flailing here, clearly. Can I hold my turn?
Yes, you may delay.
All right, I delay.
All right. Well, just let me know when you want to jump in.
Okay.
We are going to the top of round two. However, this complex haunt hazard is making me sleepy. And, you know, I think we all need some time to figure out how to deal with this. So let's pick it up here next week.
All right. Bye, y'all.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Cracked Die podcast. Please visit us at crackdie.com. Pathfinder 2nd Edition and the Age of Ashes Adventure Path are property of Paizo. Background audio was provided by Sirenscape because epic games deserve epic music. Please visit them at sirenscape.com. Additional background music was provided by Epidemic Sound. Please visit them at epidemicsound.com. The Cracked Eye podcast theme was composed by Angelo DiLoretto. He is forever missed. This episode was edited by Nathan. Please visit them on Twitter at @editingnate. Finally, thank you to all our patrons for assisting us in breathing life into this production. We do not know where we'd be without them. Our esteemed patrons are Cassandra Connors, D, Jacob Wilhelmi, Doombeard, Finder of Path and Stars, Logan, Mike Minatillo, Anwar Musa, Thomas Beard, Jason Leach, Margaret Torello, Shaka Jamal, Bibbity, Lee Jackson, Chris Simmons, Celine Turcotte, Michael A. Hill, Duke, Kyle Nichols, Jay Vance Seven, Sean Moore, Cameron Heenan, Corey Fellers, David Montgomery, Gregory Bleichner, and Len Cole. If you'd like to join our Patreon, please visit patreon.com/crackdiepodcast.